now take a look at the practical purposes of our homes. I want to read just a few thoughts on page 214 before we kind of get into the practical here. 214, Nancy says, in reference to Titus 2, the alternate rendering keepers at home highlights the importance of preserving and prioritizing our homes. And she says that she believes that what Paul is trying to say here is don't drop the ball. You know, don't drop the ball. The apostles' instruction affirms that the work we do at home matters, not just to ourselves and our families, but to the wider community and the cause of Christ, the cause of the gospel. Do we think of it that way? It's not just our own family, but it's our community and the cause of the gospel. Paul is not calling us just to feather our own nests and make ourselves comfy. As my friend Carolyn McCauley reminds us, our work at home is, quote, a co-labor of love with our Creator for the benefit of others, end of quote there. So practically speaking, what should be happening in one's home? What do we invest our energies doing there? Well, we need to cultivate in ourselves a sensitivity and awareness of the others in our home and what their needs are. We need to be in tune with caring for others' needs. And I would say whether we have a house full of children or an empty nest where it's just you and your husband, or perhaps you're in this season of widowhood, or maybe you are opening your home and welcoming others as a means of hospitality, lodging people. Or perhaps you have a home where your grown children are often stepping over the doorstep, so to speak. Whatever your home consists of, whatever it is for you at this season in your life, even if you're living in the home of another, I would say, home calls for practical activity. And we're going to get to the attitude and atmosphere later. But practical activity, let's move into that. Page 222 and 223, Nancy touches on just a list of practical activities that take place in a home. and I kind of made a list myself, incorporated hers into the list I have here, but I like her one that she says, and I quote, bring order from chaos. Bring order from chaos. I think that's so important in homemaking. Whatever season of life we're in is bringing order from chaos, because we live in a culture where we're always buying more and bringing more in, and we can just accumulate those piles. There's nothing so unwelcoming as walking into a house that just has piles and piles of stuff. So I think it's important that sorting and organizing, giving, getting rid of, all these things are important. And I think the reality is if you don't, you're going to be cursed with clutter. And I do say clutter does become a curse, especially in our day and age. I'm thinking more now, just recently, Andy and I had a will made up, and I'm thinking about I need to sort through my items and see which things are worthy to give to my kids, and what can I do so that I don't have a house full of clutter one day that my kids have to be sorting through of junk that might have been meaningful to me at some time, but aren't going to mean a hill of beans to them, and I can do them a great favor by sorting out that clutter now. Another thing, another practical activity is just keeping our house clean. Dusting, vacuuming, just the basics of keeping a clean home. Nancy says, she uses the phrase, brightening a drab corner. Just, you know, decorating our homes. It was interesting years ago, when Andy and I were just married maybe a year or two or three, and we had just Tim and Carissa. I used to use the decorations that my mom had used when I was growing up for seasons. You know, back then it wasn't the vinyl clings, but it was a little cardboard cutouts with autumn leaves and everything. And I used to, you know, tape them all around in the house when autumn would come or spring would come. And I remember Andy's older brother coming to visit us one day. And he was sitting on the sofa and he was looking at the little autumn cutouts hanging up there. And he goes, you know, that's really neat. That just really, now they had a home that, let's just say, was less than kept, that they grew up in. And I could see, even in a guy, a man, he was like, this makes it feel like home, you know? And he wasn't kidding. He was serious. And I just never forgot that coming from a guy. It was, you know, a guy in his late 20s. He's saying, that's really neat. So we can brighten a drab corner. How about just washing clothes? You know, we wash the clothes. Do we fold the clothes? Do we put the clothes away? Do we iron them? Just those kind of things are practical activities that we need to be involved in. Another one, especially if we have company, if we have guests in our home and we're showing hospitality, is just suitable sleep. You know, clean bedding, warm blankets, a nice nightlight. You know, if you have somebody who's staying overnight, make sure they have a nightlight because they're not used to the house. You don't want them tripping or stumbling when they're trying to get to the restroom in the middle of the night. These things are little, but they're really not trivial. They're practical ways that we can make our homes in such a way that we meet the needs, the very real needs that are there. Meals. We make meals for ourselves and our family, but maybe making a meal and inviting people into our home. Maybe making a meal and taking it to somebody's home, somebody that needs a meal. There's just a lot of activities in our homes that are important, important to God. But when home isn't a priority anymore, they tend to get bumped aside. What are some ideas you have, some suggestions you have on not so much creating the atmosphere, we'll get to that in a moment, but just the practical activities of home? Any thoughts? Maybe I should have asked before I started listening.
She gave them all to us.
Well, I have another half of the list left, so that's why I thought I better stop halftime here.
How about just bringing like living things in, like plants? That can make a big difference. Just
so true.
Something living.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Something
that's
sweet.
Good.
That's
good.
Yes. I hear you, Sharon. Yes, I love my violets. And the wonderful thing about violets is they'll often bloom in the winter, so you get that little bit of cheer up in the middle of the winter. But that's a good thought. Yeah, bringing living things into the home.
Unless you kill them.
I liked your idea, too, of like just with the leaves and all of that. My husband, who doesn't notice anything when we were first married, the thing that he noticed was the way that I celebrated things. That just really blessed him. Like, I remember him coming home and I had something over the mailbox and I had like a Christmas wreath up and all this stuff, and he's going, I really like this. And I'm going, who are you?
Isn't that neat? It is deep inside of men.
They may not say it.
Right.
But yeah, it presents as home.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that makes me remember something that Andy mentioned when we were first married. He said, you know, he would thank me very often for vacuuming. And he said, because, you know, I might not notice if it's vacuumed, but I would notice if it wasn't vacuumed. And that is so true. And I think, like you had just mentioned about the celebrating holidays, that is so true, Barbara Ann. Because, you know, in our society, people don't often have the time, and they're looking for the one person that it often falls onto, right, Joanne? You've mentioned that with your family. You know, but it takes time. It takes time to plan those celebrations, to prepare for them, to host them, and then to clean them up. But I think that's an important part of home life, celebrating the moments. Yes.
Just as an aside, I live by myself, but nobody was coming for Christmas, and I didn't get a tree. I didn't do anything, except I just put a note to myself to take the Christmas wreath off the door. but it was different. It was so lacking. And I know our celebration of Christmas shouldn't revolve around the decorations, but I was used to having it, the family, the hearth decorated and people there, and it really means something, the visuals.
Right, the visuals. And Lisa, you mentioned, well, what if you can't keep them alive? I would just encourage you then get some, you know, fake ones. Like a fake, like you're talking, Jean, you know, have a small fake tree, you know, have some fake green. So at least it can remind you of.
Well, a friend of mine was so upset that I wasn't going to have a tree. She brought me one of her artificial trees and set it up. And she said, now, can you see it? She was more upset about it than I was. But when you look back, it was really kind of missing.
Right.
It didn't feel like home.
Right. That's a good point. Celebrating, holidays, decorating, those things are important. What other activities in our home? Well, planning outings and events. Just planning, it's a special holiday. When our kids were younger, when it was their birthday, they got to pick a special event they wanted to do, a place they wanted to go, and we would do that to celebrate their birthday. But you can still do that when it's just you and your husband, or if it's just you. Find a friend that will celebrate that special holiday. These things are important to life, and they've just gotten pushed out in our day and age because everybody is so busy. What can be pushed out is sometimes the important things. But there's caring for those that are sick within our homes that takes place. Like Nancy mentioned, the importance of teaching and training children in chores. There's outdoor keep-up, indoor keep-up, and the list goes on and on. But as Nancy Liedemoss says, it's no insignificant calling, this ministry of homemaking. It's no insignificant calling. And I would add, no matter what season of life you're in. But homemaking does go beyond the activity, the energy, and it involves creating an atmosphere. And we've kind of been touching on that, creating a heart for home. And this is where we go beyond the physical labor. And it involves our heart, cultivating in our hearts that right perspective. How does God see home? How important is home to God? And it involves not just our energies, but making home a little bit of a reflection of heaven, so to speak, where everybody that is in the home or comes into our home is blessed when they enter. Let's take a look, if you'd like to follow, page 205 to 206. This is the beginning of the chapter. And again, we have another testimony. I appreciate all these testimonies Nancy puts in her chapter on just home. And she says on 205, the beginning of the chapter actually, it wasn't anything fancy, but what a sweet gift it was. My husband and I joined our sweet friends, and she calls them Gretchen and Alex, along with their four children and another family member for an evening in their home. We gathered around their dining room table to feast on savory chicken vegetable soup and fragrant bread. We talked, laughed, and played a spirited game of toss-up. Then we closed the evening with an extended time of prayer around the circle. Surrounding us on the walls was beautiful original artwork that depicted biblical themes. Just one way that Gretchen, who left a career in marriage and family counseling to minister to her own husband and children, uses her gifts to worship Christ and point her family and friends to him. She goes on to say, this generous-hearted wife and mom is being pulled in many directions these days, juggling the needs of her husband, homeschooled children and teens, aging parents, a disabled sister who's come to live temporarily in her home, and a steady stream of college students who find a home away from home under her roof. And yet, she intentionally makes her home a place of outreach and welcome. She doesn't typically offer gourmet meals or Martha Stewart table settings. What she, along with her husband and children, does offer is extravagant love, warmth, acceptance, meaningful conversation, and smiles. Her home is not an idol or an end in itself. It is a tool, a means of putting the gospel and the grace of God on display. My friend is giving those who come through the front door or garage door a taste of heaven because she, like all true Titus II women, have developed a heart for home. And then on page 218, Nancy states, we're called to have a heart for our homes, to recognize the priceless value and the strategic importance of the eternal investments that are being made there. So when we discuss the atmosphere in our homes. There's many key elements, many key ingredients that need to go into the atmosphere in our home. And this time, instead of going through my list, I'm going to let you have first. What are some of the things that are key ingredients to a home atmosphere, Joanne?
I think one of the key ingredients for just us women, and a lot of us looking around here are empty nesters, and it's, I think, the wife having a heart in tune with God, spending time with Him, because that sets the tone. And when He comes through those doors, you know, my mother, there was always a consistency. There was always food on the table at 6:30 when your father came home. There was always a greet at the door. They always lovingly kissed each other. And He needs to be the focus when He walks through those doors. He's worked long hours. He comes home. And that makes a huge difference. He knows my wife's going to have food on the table. And she's going to ask, how was your day? And the focus needs to be on Him.
Right. That's good.
All day our hearts are in tune with God. Yes, our days can get messed up and hectic. But at the end of the day, when He comes home, we need to have that attitude, that spirit. Okay, my husband's coming home, and it's all about Him.
That is very good. Again, I feel that when you've got a wife who's coming home at the same time the husband's coming home, can you do that? No, you cannot. Thank you, Joanne. That was good. Anybody else? What else creates that atmosphere, Ginny?
Just having a peaceful aroma about the house. And I remember one day when my daughter came home, she said, "Oh, Mom, it's always so peaceful here." Mm. And I thought, wow, that is... I said, "I'm so glad that you find that here." I said, "I don't always feel peaceful, you know, going about my activities. But I said, I am so glad when you come here, you sense that there's a peace here."
That's good. And the name of your farm is?
Restful
Acres. Yes. That's good. Anybody else? How do we create that atmosphere for home?
Like being around the table together. That she mentioned there. Mm-hmm. And having simple food, it doesn't have to be gourmet.
Right.
Like soup and bread. Yeah, that's good.
right, because sometimes we can get so caught up in the Mary Martha kind of thing, you know, that we have to have it all perfect, that the meal becomes the emphasis instead of the time together.
Good. I know for Jeff and I, just having worship music on.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just being friendly and being interested in the people that are with you, and just interact between each other.
Interaction, yes, that's really something that's lacking a lot of times today. Like she said, you know, that sometimes homes are just a hubbub of people coming in, popping a snack in the microwave and going, and families aren't spending time together. And we laugh about, you know, how you can be in the same house texting each other, but it is sad. It really is sad. Yeah. I used to laugh, but I'm not so sure it's so funny anymore.
So many meals.
Sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
Go ahead, Harry. Dot, and then we'll take Barbara Ann.
So many families today, young people, they don't have sit-down meals.
Right.
They grab a plate, one's in the den, or one's, you know, they're all helter-skelter over the house eating. I didn't grow up with that.
It's very unhealthy.
I always had meals on the table, and we said grace. And today I find I go to the grandkids' house, a lot of them, they're just eating all over the house. It just, I don't know.
Right. It's more like they're grazing instead of spending that time together building relationships. You know?
I like that.
Barbara Ann?
As a psych nurse, I taught, we had to submit what groups we were doing, and so I did a group on love languages because I felt that was really critical after learning about it myself. And one of the skits that I would put on, I'd get one of the patients to be the daughter, and I was the mom, so it was like the love language of... basically, what was that love language?
quality time.
Quality time and focusing. Like, so the daughter would come in and she'd say,
"Hi, Mom." And she goes, "Hi, how was your day?" And she's stirring. And she goes, "Well, it was kind of tough. Oh, could you give me that?" You know, like, because hers is acts of service. And she's going like this, you know, okay. "Oh, what time is it? Oh, okay, I've got to put this in the oven now," you know, and all of that. So focused on the task at hand instead of really hearing the daughter. And you would not believe how many times that resonated in people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's a good thought to learn. Too, I mean, the priority of giving of time, but just the importance to learn what means love to the people right. in your home. When I first heard about that years and years ago, I thought, I'm not so sure. But it is so true. It is so true. What might mean love to you doesn't mean love to your spouse, and you have to learn what will mean something to them.
Can I give one more example?
Sure.
It's such a good one.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was so neat when the Holy Spirit showed me, because I was asking the Holy Spirit to show me what my children needed. Mm-hmm. And I knew my son's was physical touch, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit showed me, because I would phone him, because we didn't live in the same area, right? And I'm kind of a down to business. I'm not a phone person ordinarily, and a little more than usual with my kids. So we would be talking, and then I go, "Well, I guess that's it." And then he go, "Oh, you know," and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you let him in the conversations?"
Mm-hmm.
And it just changed everything. Like, it was just so crazy. Like, he just sounded so happy. But he probably didn't know why he was happy, you know? But no, it was really pretty profound. And I said, "Oh, Holy Spirit, what would I do without you?"
Yeah, those are some good thoughts. So there's a lot of key ingredients to making home a place where people feel loved and accepted and happy. You know, our homes need to possess love and unity. Unity is important. Joy, celebrate those special moments. And just everything, watching what Christiana and Jeff and Ava have gone through, it's just made me realize that we have to celebrate each day and each moment and the special opportunities of the simple things in life. You know, it doesn't have to be a big hoorah, you know, New Year's Eve get together to celebrate the day. You can celebrate just the moments in a day of having together and being together. Celebrate the season of life that you're in. And I think it's important, and it's been touched on, is rest and time. You know, we need to give our families the gift of our time, free our homes of the curse of the crazy busy. I know when I was raising the children, I was younger, the big phrase was, it's just been so crazy. It was almost like a lapel, you know, button. Like if you wore the button, "Oh, life is so crazy busy," then you were doing life. You were like really successful at it. But it was kind of sad, because I think in that generation is where a lot of family time, just relaxing, just sitting on the porch, so to speak. When I moved down from Pennsylvania, not too far from Philly, but far enough outside, we weren't in the city, but down south, it was a whole new way of life. And I remember I had offended a friend, and she said to me, "You never invite me to sit on your porch." Well, coming from outside of Philadelphia, you don't invite people to come over, and y'all come over in the evening and sit on the porch. But down south, it was an important thing. People would often say, "Come on over," you know, and sitting on the porch in the evening was just a way of doing life together. So, yes, we have to give our family time and rest, relationship of ourselves. This also was touched on. We want to create an environment of encouragement, praise, healing. You know, if a child walks in the door, you're an empty nester, you've grown child that walks in the door, and you're tuned into their, you know, demeanor and the way they're handling themselves. Maybe they need some encouragement. Maybe they need some praise. Maybe they need some healing, just to listen, to soothe. Maybe you invite somebody into your home for hospitality, and you can just tell something's not quite right there. Well, try to take time to listen and to hear what's on their heart, because God might have you there to minister healing to them. Joanne touched on worship and prayer. I think that's so key to our homes. Worship and prayer. We should be having personal worship in our homes, but as a family or as a couple, that is so important that our home is a place, a little chapel, so to speak, where we spend time with God individually and then together. Beauty and warmth is important to create in your home. And the five senses, I think Barbara Ann mentioned, you know, the sense of, what do we hear? Do we have some good Christian music playing that just is soothing? There's times while I'm getting dinner and I'll just put in a good CD and just listen to that. And Nancy Lee DeMoss, a number of years ago, did a piano CD. It's just piano hymns that she did. I think it was a celebration of her 50-year or 55th birthday. But it's just a blessing to me, just that quiet piano music. I'm hearing the words of the hymns in my mind. So we have the sense of sound, the smell of just a good candle burning, the sight of a beautiful bouquet of flowers. It can be really simple. I used to admire Ginny years ago when we started the church. We'd have prayer meeting on the picnic tables in your open screened-in porch. And Ginny would have just a little tin can with a few sprigs of flowers and maybe a little piece of... what do you call that? Not ribbon, but something.
Raffia.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Sharon. Raffia tied around it. And I just remember how just it was just something that I really enjoyed looking at. It just kind of added a little cheer to the table. It's amazing the ways we can minister to people. It might be the touch of a hug or even the warmth of you're having someone over in your home and it's just a warm comforter they have in the evening. There's just so many ways that we make our homes an atmosphere. It's not just the buzzing of activity that we do in our home, though that is definitely important. But it's the spirit we create. It's the heart we have. It's the attitude we have. And like Joanne said, a lot of that comes from our time with the Lord. And that will allow us to have that attitude when others come into the home. But lest we think this is only for a particular segment of people or a season of life, I'd like to return to the book here. And page 226 to 227, and our time is going too quickly here. 226 to 227, where she shares, she elaborates on when she was in the season of singleness, how did she do home? And I think it's just worth reading here. She says, just a paragraph down on 226, she says, having been single for so many years, I want to add that within the context of the family of God, the borders of home, quote home, include more, though not less, than biological family members. This means any and all of us can share in the responsibilities and rewards of making and keeping a home. More times than I can count, I've experienced the joy of being invited into others' homes and finding there the gifts of friendship, grace, peace, encouragement, nourishment for my body and soul, and loads of laughter. I have found sweet consolation and prayer in the living room of a friend when I was disheartened or carrying a burden too great to bear alone. I have received wise counsel from godly mentors. I have found family. So this is her talking as a single woman and being invited into other people's homes, which we need to do. We need to invite people into our homes. But then she said she also used her home as a single woman. I have also had the great joy of opening my heart and home to others for most of my life as a single woman. As many of you know, she's only been married, I think, like about 3-4 years now. And she's, I think, 60. So this is what she would do as a single. She would invite people in, making pumpkin pies or decorating gingerbread houses in my kitchen with children whose parents were out on a date, or ordering pizza for a spontaneous gathering of a few close families. Or sitting on a sofa listening to a woman pour out her heart about a secret sin she'd never shared with anyone else. Also, weeping and kneeling together with a couple whose marriage had been ravaged by infidelity. How else did Nancy open her home? Hosting weekly Bible studies with coffee and dessert. Hosting wedding receptions in the backyard. Having a house fall, and I mean fall, to ring in the new year with fellowship, sharing, praise, and prayer. Opening my home for a season to a newlywed couple, or a missionary family on furlough, or an older couple whose air conditioning had gone out in the middle of July. Just thinking about what has amounted to hundreds of such occasions over the years brings a smile to my face. Has it sometimes meant extra stress, weariness, and expense? For sure. Does all the activity and interaction sometimes feel overwhelming for this introvert? No question. Have I at times resented the messes made by others and the wear and tear on my stuff? Truth be told, yes, but it has been worth it 1,000 times yes. This is where deep, rich friendships have been forged. This is where lives, both mine and my guests, have been molded. This is where I've acquired adopted parents, adopted siblings, adopted children, and adopted grandchildren. This is where we've grown, shared, wept, repented, given and received grace, and rejoiced as we celebrate Christ together. And she ends with, at home. Isn't that good? You know, none of us can be left off the hook, so to speak. Whether we've got children in the home, whether we're an empty nester, whether we're single, whether we're widowed, we can use our homes to minister to people. But it takes time and it takes effort. It takes cultivating those homes. And I couldn't help but, when I read this, think of Amy Carmichael, the missionary to India. She was a single missionary. She went over there to be a missionary, and God used her and made her into an ama, a mother. She didn't have a husband herself. She never married. She never had her own children. But she rescued those children from temple prostitution and made homes for them there in India. Rescued children that otherwise lives would have been just left destitute. So Nancy says, no matter what our circumstances, whether we're a single missionary on the mission field, whether we're a young family, whether we're in the empty nester stage, whether we're maybe widowed, no matter what, she says, home still matters for us as women. And we will diminish the impact of our ministry as believers if we allow home to become an afterthought, or resist God's call to be workers or keepers at home, end of quote. Well, as we close here, I know it's getting late, but I'd like to take just a few minutes for us to open in the Bible again to John 14. John 14. Gospel of John. And we'll start with verse 1. John 14, and I'm just going to read verses 1 through 6. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many," and my version says mansions. That's really a misinterpretation, mistranslation there. It really means, in the truest sense, dwelling places. "In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And as we've been discussing the importance of home here on earth, let's note that Jesus was facing the cross. He was just right before he was going to die on the cross to pay the punishment for our sins. He talked to his disciples, and he said to them, he said that he was going up to heaven. And in verse 2, he calls out his Father's what? his father's house. His father's house, his father's home. And Jesus said, there's many places there, many dwellings. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in verse 3, Jesus says that he would return one day and he would take his followers, those of us who have truly recognized our own sin, that we are sinners, that we have no hope without Jesus Christ. And for those of us that have placed our faith in him as our sin bearer, he said, I'll come back. I'll take you to home. And we see in verse 6 that Jesus said there's only one way to get to that home. And what is it? Right, through Christ. There's only one way to get to that eternal home where the Father, where Jesus is busy preparing the place, and that's through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We can't get around it. But, you know, we often get very focused on making our homes here on earth, and they're important. They're very important. But if all we do is spend, you know, 50 years on earth, 80 years on earth, maybe 100 if we're really healthy, making a home, these homes are just temporary. And really, our priority should be, where am I going to spend eternity? Am I going to spend eternity in the eternal home, the heavenly home, the home where Jesus has prepared a place? And as we see, it's given to us freely. God is a God of hospitality. Oh, he opens heaven's doors for us to come live forever. But there's just only one thing. We've got to come through Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, I am it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's only through what Jesus did on the cross for us that when we receive that for ourselves, that we then can have that home in heaven. And so, yes, we don't want to pass that up. And it's important, too, that not only do we realize it's the eternal home that's got to be the priority, but are we taking people with us to that eternal home? We want to have people within our homes, in the walls of our homes, for hospitality. But why? Because ultimately we want to minister Jesus Christ to them. We want to give them a taste of heaven, and we want to use our homes as an opportunity to share the gospel. If all we do is host meals and people come in our home and they say there's something different there, because we know the Lord, they can sense his presence, but we don't direct them to the gospel, to how they can know God, how they can have an eternal home, then we're really missing something. Our homes need to be a place where we can show our children that we're raising how to go to the eternal home, how we can show people that come into our home how they can go to that eternal home. So I don't want to assume, you know, there might be somebody here this morning, this is a ladies' Bible study, but we can't assume. Do we have that eternal home being prepared for us? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord? And if you haven't, I would encourage you to start today. Have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. Ask him to be your Savior and to be your Lord. And know then that you will have that forever home someday in heaven. So I just encourage you with those thoughts. Make home a priority. Our homes here on earth, our home in heaven. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we've talked so much about home here on earth, but we want to thank you that you are preparing a place for us to be forever with you. God, thank you so much for that. And while we're here on earth, help us to use our temporary homes, our earthly homes, to be a means to show people that they can one day have an eternal home with you. Lord, just help us to be good stewards, whatever season of life we are in, to make a home where there's a taste of heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And for your glory, amen.